Okay, we're going to start with a discussion of taking care of indoor plants. We're going to dedicate the shir Le'ilui Nishmas Ben Yomim Ben Nish Ben Shmuley Akoi, Mr. Grobart, who is your yahrzeitist tonight. And he used to be a regular attendee of this shir and all the other shurim in the moshav. And I'm sure that most of you, many of you at least, remember him. And I want to welcome Havdil Ben Chaim L'Chaim, son David, who's here, I assume, to cover the yard site. Okay. Indoor plants. We are nohag, even though there's a difference of opinion, not to plant plants, even indoors, even in a planter that we'll see is an otzit she'eino nakuv, even a planter that doesn't have a hole that's totally separate from the ground, but planting is still aser. Because that's a malacha deraisa, and we're knowing that even in the house, not to do malachas deraisa, especially where they are not needed for anything but beauty or whatever, convenience, and not for chaye nefesh. So therefore, planting is out no matter what. Everything we're going to talk about is to do with the other malachas that are only drabanan, watering, and pruning and weeding in a flower pot or whatever. All those things could be mutter under the following circumstances. And again, here there are different, let's talk about plants on the first floor. You don't have a second floor, if you do, the plants are on the first floor. Then the halacha is like this. If you put the plants in a planter that is not separated from the ground, and it has a hole in it, even a millimeter or more, then you have to treat it as if it would be outside and only do the things that you're allowed to do to a plant that's outside, which we discussed last week. However, if you want to avoid all of that, and therefore this is obviously good advice, you can transform that flower pot into an otzit she'eino nakuv, into a flower pot that does not have a hole, that's separated from the ground. And in order to be considered a flower pot that doesn't have a hole, it has to be either a flower pot of wood or metal. That's good for any kind of plant. For plants that are thick-stemmed, like woody plants, like little trees or whatever in the house, so it has to be wood or metal. Some people hold hard plastic that even if the roots would extend, they wouldn't go through the plastic, is also good. But again, it should be wood or metal. Or, what's it called? Or you can do the following. You can even have a flower pot that's made out of cheres, even for these kinds of things, and even with a hole in it, but put a separation under it that separates between it and the ground of thick aluminum foil, which is metal. So a thick layer of aluminum foil. In other words, a heavy-duty aluminum foil, probably two or three layers of it. So it's nice and strong that a root couldn't go through it. That is sufficient. You don't have to do that anyway, because even in a flower pot that's metal or wood, that doesn't have a hole, but if the plant extends over the sides of the flower pot, you have to make a separation. So in most plants, you're going to have to make a separation anyway. So you might as well take something, or a piece of metal, like a blech, and put it underneath the plant, so it, covers all the area of the plant that is exposed to the ground. In other words,
you mean the floor?
The floor, yeah. The branches that extend over the sides of the flower pot should not be, there has to be something separated between them and the floor. Something, again, with a strong plant, something that is wood or metal. And heavy-duty aluminum foil, two or three layers of it is sufficient. For plants that are just flowers or not strong bark plants that have very thin roots, their plastic for sure is okay. And according to some, even what's it called, a klicheris without a hole is okay. But again, if you glass is okay, piece of glass underneath. And again, it's not good enough just to have it underneath the bottom of the flower pot. It has to extend to all the area of the plant. If you draw a line, what's it called, to where the branches extend over the sides of the planter, that has to be covered too. That's on the first floor. There are those that hold that anything on the second floor already is considered separated from the ground, because the second floor separates it. However, Vlyoshev holds that the second floor, since it's connected to the house, is considered like the first floor. And that's how we are knowing. Even plants on the second floor have to have all these halachas. You have to separate between them and the ground. No questions now. Between them and the ground, with something that is, again, you can use heavy plastic to separate for most plants. For little trees or whatever, or saplings that are in the house, there you should use either wood or metal, and like we said, the heavy-duty aluminum foil would be enough. And therefore, if you want to be consistent, just get a lot of heavy-duty aluminum foil and use that as a separation for all the plants, upstairs, downstairs, big plants, little plants, and that's that way you won't have to make a cheshbon of what kind of plant it is and where it is or whatever. The heavy-duty aluminum foil is good enough for all of them. Hold on for questions. Okay, what else? If you want to, there's another eitza. You can just take a gigantic thing of heavy aluminum foil and put it over your floor. And then you don't have to do anything with the plants. They're all separated from the ground because the floor is covered with heavy-duty aluminum foil. But if you don't want to do that, you can do it the way I told you before. Okay. Now, this is only plants in the house. In the house means in a place which has a roof and has walls that are at least 10 tefachim high that go all around. So, and the outside, even if you have a pergola and a roof, but it doesn't have walls, is considered outside, not inside. And then all the halachas we said last week apply, whether the latzitz is covered, not covered, with a hole, without a hole, makes no difference. Outside, you're only allowed to do what we spoke about last week. Okay, now, any questions on this? Yeah?
What about plant pots which is hanging from the ceiling? You know, there's not the big...
Right. The same thing. Put a... what's it called?
I mean, it's not touching the ground.
I understand. Yeah. But some hold that that does make a difference. Even if it's 10 tefachim above the ground, still needs a separation, because it's still yonek from the karka without a separation.
And what about moving the plant?
We'll get to that. Yeah.
When you move, let's say we'll
get to that.
If the plant's in an earthenware planter, but it's actually on a glass or wood table, is that considered a separate?
That's fine. Yeah. But you should realize it's going to be a problem moving it off the table. Right. Thus it has some kind of separation. We'll get to moving the plants in a second. Also, the planter has to be something that doesn't hold 40 saw. That's not either or. Well, that'd be better. It's not something connected to the ground or to the walls of the house. Mamish connected, it's movable. And it's not gigantic. Some of these gigantic urns, you know, the Arabs sell on the side of the road, the ones that look like they have fat genies inside or whatever, they could be big enough to be considered stationary. And then, even if they don't have a hole, they're considered mechuba lekarka, and you can't do anything in them that you couldn't do outside. So we're talking about regular small planters, not gigantic planters, and not things connected to the ground or connected to the walls. Okay. Yeah.
All right, like if you have a plant, like a vine that goes around the whole wall of your house, whatever, you have to put a covering underneath the whole plant?
You don't have to, or you can just deal with it as if it would be outside. You only have to do this if you don't want to worry about watering it only in minimal or whatever. If it doesn't have a covering, right, a separation, then it has a din, just like outside. Then you can only do those things that would protect the plant from having irreparable damage or whatever. But if you have a covering, then you can do anything to that plant except plant. But anything else you can do, you don't have to worry about it. Well, this is only an eitzah if you want to be able to take care of your plants inside and not have to worry about how much to water and if you can take out the weeds or whatever. But if you want to worry about it and deal with it inside just as outside, then you don't need any cover. So in that situation, probably you have no choice. You're not going to be able, unless you want to put aluminum foil over your whole thing. You can put it under the carpet, too. A carpet, though, that's buckled to the ground, and it could be even the aluminum foil that's buckled to the ground doesn't help. Because it's just nowhere better than a carpet or bolatos or whatever. Maybe that etza wasn't good. If you put it where it's immovable, if it's just a thing that you keep walking over, maybe that's okay. But it wasn't really an etza that was serious. Yeah.
Can you mind the inside of a flower pot with the aluminum foil?
The inside of the flower, you can. The only thing is that it has to also go underneath the parts of the plant that overhang, that go out of the flower pot. So that's not going to be an etza for the things that hang over. Yeah.
The Rav said a carpet is bumped to the ground. What about a rug?
Rug, same thing. It's not, a rug is considered karka, just like the floor is considered karka. It's not a separation. It's bottled to the carpet. Yeah.
Why is there a problem with the indoors?
Because the whole house is mechubel karka and it's considered like it's on the ground. There's no separation at all. Okay. Okay. Next. Yeah.
We have like a low wall with a whole bunch of plants on it. I'm just wondering how we would make the separation. If we're going to put foil, for example, how would we do it like wide enough to go under the branches?
What's the problem?
You said that the separation
would
go like right under all the branches.
Right.
So I don't see how we could do that because it's like on a thin wall.
Ah. So if it's impossible, then you can only deal with them as if they would be outside.
Okay.
That's all. It's not that you can't have the plants. You just can't do anything to them that you wouldn't be allowed to do outside. So you have to be very careful what you do and what you don't do. If you do put the separation, you don't have to be careful at all. Do anything to them, you can treat them normal. It's only an etza if you don't want to have to bother with all the halachas of what you're allowed to do and what not you're allowed to do. But if you can't do it, so then you have to bother with that. Then it'll be just as if the plants were outside. That's all. Okay, moving then. Now, once you have made all these plants separated from the ground, if you take away that separation, it's like you're planting. Because now you're making them not separated from the ground. That's awesome. So therefore, the things that you make separated, you keep separated the whole Shemitah. Now, if you have to move them to clean or whatever, you should make sure you move them with some kind of heavy-duty plastic underneath them or aluminum foil underneath them as you move them. Put them in the place where you want to move them and move them back, but all the time with the covering. On the other hand, the other way around is okay during Shemitah. If you want to take a planter that you didn't separate from the ground and you were careful how to deal with it as if it would be outside, and then you decided forget about that, you want to cover it, and then you, during Shemitah, want to separate from the ground, that's okay. You can separate something that wasn't separated before, but you can't unseparate something that was separated. Okay.
Rabbi, quick question.
Yeah.
Technically, I have a little table. I could cover the whole table with that heavy, heavy flat foil.
Well, the table's what, made out of wood?
Wood, and it's covered in formica.
Yeah, so you don't have to cover it with anything. You just have to keep the plants on the table. You don't have to cover the table.
And I can move the plants and do whatever?
On the table.
On the table. Keep them on that table all the time.
Right.
The whole year.
Yeah. If you want to dust the table,
pick up the plant, dust them.
Pick them, right, exactly. But pick them up in such a way that it's still over the table.
Watch the overhang.
You have to watch the overhang, yeah. So we're talking the separation should be total, the overhang of the plant,
yeah,
too. Okay. Okay. What else? Okay, now, obviously, you can't take a plant that was in the house and take it outside. Okay, so you can't move your plants into your sukkah or something like that. Sukkah maybe is not such a good example because the sukkah is inside too. But you can't take it out and put it outside somewhere because that's also like making it connected to the ground. So what else? Or you can't take the roof off your house. Right? You have a sukkah, taking off the roof makes all the plants now outside. That's also a little bit of a problem. If you have such a thing, we have a removable roof for a sukkah. I don't think anybody here has that. If somebody does, they should ask a shayla if you have what's it called. Huh?
Shapiro.
Okay, so they'll ask a shayla if they have it. Okay. If you have to move during Shemitah, and you want to take your plants with you. Or if you want to buy plants and want to move them home or whatever, you should ask a shayla how to do it and if to do it and where to buy the plants or whatever.
Somebody gives you a plant to
do the same thing. You can make it unseparated. If once they brought it into the house, you can unseparate it. But and you have to know if you can keep those plants or not. That's a separate shayla that we'll get to in a little while. Okay, any other questions about plants inside the house? Yeah.
There are certain plants that you can just stick into the ground. You just stick into the ground and grow roots by itself. So
you can't stick them into the ground.
No. If you carry it on top of the ground, is that there's no separation? Is that called planting?
If you put it within 10 tefachim of the ground and it wasn't in before the ground before, yeah, it's called planting. Okay. Okay, now let's go to Kedusha Shvi'is and what's going to be a problem. I hate to say that, but what's going to be an issue. I told you it's not a problem. What's going to be an issue right away after Rosh Hashanah? Right. What things now have the halachas? First of all, let's backtrack a second. In your garden, you're not going to have fruits if you have vegetables growing or whatever. So aside from the fact that they have Kedusha Shvi'is and you have to treat them properly, right, and you have to work with them with the guidelines that we said, there's another halacha, they're hefker. You can't stop people from coming and taking your vegetables. They're hefker for everybody. And you can't close up your yard or your garden in such a way that people don't have access. What you can do is say, put a sign up and say, this garden is hefker. Anyone can come and pick what they'd like of my vegetables or whatever that are kadosh b'kedusha shvi'is. And people are allowed to come and take enough for three sudas or whatever, or for a shopping day of your vegetables, because they're not yours, they're hefker. You can also take them. You can, however, because you don't want them to trample your garden and ruin it, you go above a sign and say the garden is open at these and hours, or the key is available, right, at these and these hours, and if you want to, come at that time and I'll let you into the garden and you'll be able to take what you want. So, but you can't close it up, lock it up, and make it inaccessible. And you can't stop people coming and taking the things that have Kedusha Shvi'is. They can't uproot your trees and take them away. It's just the fruit or the vegetables that are okay. Okay. The okay, so that's Hefker. Now comes the halachas of Kedusha Shvi'is. Something that grew. Let's start with fruit, because that's easiest. That's not going to be no gale. Fruit of the tree. Has to be nechnat during Shemitah in order to be considered what's it called Perush Shvi'is. That means all fruit. Well, Chanata means that it blossoms, basically. It's the beginning of the fruit started during Shemitah. But if that happened before Shemitah, all fruit that exists on a tree right now, with one exception, which we'll see, is what's it called, is already shishis. It's already, if it's on the tree now, it's already had its blossoming during the sixth year. And therefore it has no Kedusha Shvi'is. Nobody can come and take that fruit. And if you take that fruit off the tree, you can do whatever you want with it. It's not Shvi'is fruit.
Are you allowed to harvest it in a normal manner? Like I could pick 80 lemons off my tree? Or
without Kedusha Shvi'is? That's a separate, that has nothing to do necessarily with fruit that has Kedusha Shvi'is. That's to do with any fruit, the Chara. That's a din in the avod of the karka, the tzira. The Chara you have to, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm almost not sure. Hold on 1 second, we'll see.
It's pretty relevant.
Yes. Thank you. I'm going to pick your fruit. Sorry, 1 second. It should be a plush at the halacha.
Thank you.
statute doesn't say clearly. I'll have to let you know.
Another part of the same question would be, would you take trumas and maaser?
Yeah, that's for sure. The things that are not kedusha shviyas, you have to take off trumas and maaser, just like regular. Things that are vade kedusha shviyas, you don't take off trumas and maaser. So things that are growing already on the tree, fruit, have no kedusha shviyas, you have to take off trumas and maaser. That's for sure.
Would it be of the
6 year,
like another
way to... 6 year?
Maaser
change. Right, right. Maaser on you. 6 year, okay. Okay, now, the exception to this is esrogim. Esrogim that grew in the 6th year, but were harvested in Shviyas. If you have to take them off the tree after Rosh Hashanah, they have Kedusha Shviyas L'chumra. And therefore, to avoid that problem, if you're going to use esrogim this year, take them off the tree before Rosh Hashanah. And you can, they'll last. Every esrog you buy in the market, it was taken off the tree before Rosh Hashanah. This year for sure is going to be like that. So for them to process it or whatever, it takes weeks. So take your esrogim, if you have an esrog tree and you want to use the esrogim without any other issues, right? There's purely no kedusha shviyas this year at least. Take them off the tree before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's fruit. So therefore, fruit is not going to be a relevant issue till next summer, spring, summer. Grains, olives, and grapes have a different halacha. If they grew 1/3 of their growth during Shemitah, that was the before Shemitah, they grew 1/3 of their growth before Shemitah, then even if they're harvested during Shemitah, they're not Kedusha Shviyas. They would have had to grow 1/3 of their growth in the Shemitah year, the beginning 1/3 of their growth in the Shemitah year. We'll get to in a few seconds the problem of Svichim, but if they already took root and already came up off the, over the ground before what they call, before Shemitah started, in other words, before Rosh Hashanah, you could already see the sprouts of the things that you planted, grain, legumes, or whatever. They're not Svichim, but when you'll harvest them, they have Kedusha Shviyas. So those vegetables, and that same thing goes for vegetables. Vegetables that started growing before Rosh Hashanah, in other words, it came above the ground, but they were harvested after Rosh Hashanah, okay, have Kedusha Shviyas. Vegetables go on when you harvest them. So all vegetables that already started growing before Rosh Hashanah and were harvested after Rosh Hashanah have Kedusha Shviyas, and therefore most vegetables that will be possible to have Kedusha Shviyas will have Kedusha Shviyas already on Tzom Gedalia. On right. Vegetables that did not sprout before Rosh Hashanah, they only sprouted during Shviyas. So surely if they were planted during Shviyas, they're usher to eat altogether. They have Kedusha Shviyas, and they're usher because that's called Svichim. Svichim is anything that needs to be planted on a yearly basis, okay, not fruit of the tree, like wheat and barley and vegetables or whatever that you have to constantly replant. The rabbis prohibited eating any of that, even if it grew by itself, surely if somebody planted it during Shemitah, because we're afraid that people would plant and say that it grew by itself. So they assured everything. Of those kinds of things, if they started to grow during Shemitah, and they were harvested during Shemitah. And therefore, what's it called, and Svichim will be assur till somewhat into the 8th year. Till Hanukkah, some things, but that will get to the end of next year.
What
yeah?
about a plant like an asparagus that's perennial? It comes up by itself sometimes for 3, 4, 5 years, even 10 years.
It keeps producing asparagus?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Asparagus you make a Bari Pri Adoma on. It's not an age.
That's right.
But that could be for other reasons. I'm not sure. Asparagus, and how long does it take till the first asparagus comes?
I think a year or two.
More than a year?
I think more than a year.
It's possible then that Svichim doesn't apply to it, but it doesn't sound right. But in any case, it's possible that it's not Svichim. Both of those conditions would make it not Svichim, but I have to check. I'm not sure. There are two things to check now. Okay.
What about herbs?
Herbs are the same thing as vegetables, and they have a din of Svichim.
Even though they don't get planted every year?
What do you mean they don't get
herbs that grow constantly? Like
what?
Mint.
Yeah.
Mint doesn't get planted every year.
It's a bush?
It grows constantly.
It's a bush?
No, it's not.
It's a plant.
It grows, if it's constantly grows in the ground, it grows constantly. You never renew it. You don't have to replant it.
It like a vine,
it doesn't die and it doesn't
end. Same question of asparagus. I have to check, I'm not sure. Now,
and it starts growing right away. I mean, as soon as it comes out of the ground, you can eat it or whatever.
Right.
The herbs?
Yeah,
there's lots of herbs.
Okay, let's see what's not included in Svichim. Okay, I'm not sure. These kind of plants, I'm not sure. They're not trees. Definitely make an adoma on them, right? On the other hand, they don't need to be planted constantly. I'm not sure. Hold on a sec. The what's not included in the Isra of Svichim? Something that grows in land belonging to a goy. Even though we hold that things in Eretz Yisrael that are planted or grow in the field of a goy have kedusha shvius. That's a big machlokas. That's the main difference between the Chazon Ish and the Minigun Yerushalayim. The Chazon Ish held, like the Mabit, that Peiros Nochri, that produce produced in Eretz Yisrael in land owned by a non-Jew, still has Kedusha Shvius. And the Beis Yosef held it doesn't. In Yerushalayim, the Minig, it's not Minig Yerushalayim per se, but many people in Yerushalayim have the Minig to Paschim like the Beis Yosef that doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. And therefore they use vegetables that are taken from Goyish's own land, and they don't have to treat it with any special Kedusha. It's regular produce, just if it came from Chutz Laretz. Masha'in came, the Chazon Ish held, like the Mabit, that you have to deal with the Kedusha Shvius. However, even the Chazon Ish is maskim that there's no Isra of Svichim. So even if it's Goyim plant in Goyish land, right, you're allowed to use the produce. It's not Svichim, but it has Kedusha Shvius. You have to treat it with Kedusha Shvius. But it's not Osir to eat. It's Mutter to eat.
Just said
what Svichim is. Svichim is those things that are planted or come up by themselves during Shemitah, and they're not allowed to eat.
They have the din of Svichim or they don't.
Well, it means, are they osir or not osir? Right? Svichim are just things that grow by themselves in the ground. Right? If something grows in the ground today, it doesn't have a din of Svichim, it's just Svichim, right? Because it's not Shemitah. But Svichim during Shemitah, in the place where Svichim are osir, have a din of Svichim that they're osir. That's the din.
What's
Kedusha Shvius? Kedusha Shvius is that you have to treat the fruit with a special Kedusha. We'll get to that. We didn't discuss yet what the parameters of Kedusha Shvius is.
But that only applies to fruit?
No, it applies to vegetables, fruit, anything that grows, by the way we said, we explained already, right? For fruit, when it started blossoming during Shemitah, even if it was harvested in the 8th year, it's Kedusha Shvius. If it blossomed in the 6th year, even if it's harvested in the 7th year, it has no Kedusha Shvius. Vegetables depend when you harvest them, right? And they have had to start growing somewhat above the ground before Shemitah, otherwise they're Svichim and they're also to eat. Vegetables, tvua, whatever. Yeah.
I didn't understand the grains, olives, and grapes thing.
Yeah, there the shear is, if they grew a third of their growth before Shemitah, then they're not Shemitah things. But if they didn't grow a third of their growth, right, then they're not like fruit. fruit, as long as it was nechnat in shishis, even if it didn't grow a third of its growth, it's not shvius. But grapes, olives, and grain, right, if it didn't grow a third of its growth in the sixth year, but it grew a third of its growth in Shemitah, then it has a din of Shemitah. Even though it already blossomed, let's say, in what's it called before.
Like the first third or the last third, it doesn't matter?
No, the first third.
The first third.
Okay. Okay, next. The so therefore, just to go into a store and buy vegetables, and we hold like this. We hold that the many of the Mizrahi Yeshuvim, even though it's getting a smaller and smaller number, are somech on the Heter Mechira. What's the Heter Mechira? That they sell the land of Eretz Israel to a goy. And therefore it's considered land that's owned by a goy. And therefore the produce, they hold two things. One, they hold like the minig of Yerushalayim, that the produce doesn't have any kedusha shvia, so you can do anything you want with it. Okay. Secondly, they hold there's no shvichim. So therefore you can even plant, right, in a goy plants in his land or whatever. The problem is that they don't have goyim working, they have Jews working, which is a problematic. But in any case, whatever, they hold that it's considered like it was grown in a goy's land, and therefore it doesn't have kedusha shvius, and there's no issur of shvichim. Now we hold, first of all, even let's assume that it would be considered a good sale, and it would be really considered a goyish land, doesn't make a difference to us, because it still has kedusha shvius. The produce that comes from a field of a goy, you have to treat with the halachas of kedusha shvius. You have to not waste it and only deal with it in the normal way, which we'll get to. Whatever those halachas of kedusha shvius are, apply to that produce. Secondly, we hold that the mechira is no mechira, so it's not considered goyish land. We hold the sale doesn't take effect. It's not a real sale. It's not like selling your chametz. Selling your chametz, right, conceivably could be that if the goy wants to keep the chametz, he could keep it. And if he took it to court, it would stand up. But if this goy says, okay, you know what? I think I will get money from Saudi Arabia and pay you for whatever the land is worth, and I'll keep the whole Eretz Israel. Nobody, right, would ever honor the sale. Right? It's purely a fiction. And therefore, it's not chal. That's one major reason. There's many other things. Also, it's according to the Chazon Ish, according to others, it's usher to make the sale, because you're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Israel to a goy. And since it's usher to do, the way that they do it, it can't take effect, because the witnesses are possible, because they witness is something that's usher for them to witness to do. And they make the sale that somebody makes it for everybody, like we do for Chametz and Pesach. And you can't do something for somebody else, ain't shliach l'dvar averi. You can't make an agent to do something that's usher to do. So we hold the heter mechira is batel mevutel. Doesn't help at all, and therefore it's really Jewish land, and therefore the things that are grown there are shvichim, they're usher to eat. You're not allowed to eat them. They're not just that they are, you have to have kedusha shvius. If it's fruit of the tree, so what's it called? There's another problem which we'll get to in a little while. I've called shomer v'nevad. Because now the people who have these fields consider this not Shemitah produce. So they close up their fields. They don't let anybody come and take the thing. They harvest it regularly as if it's what's it called, their own. And based on this, it probably the answer to your question before is that if it's not Shemitah produce, you can harvest it regularly. So they harvest it regularly, and they close up their fields, and they treat it as if it's theirs. So that's shomer. And they work on it, right, with all kinds of works that you're not allowed to do if it would be Shemitah land. So they consider it like chutzlarts, it's goyish land. So the bedatz in Yerushalayim is more machmer than the Chazon Ish, the opposite. Shomer v'nevad, if you have something that was not made hefker during Shemitah, somebody not for him, and he has a garden and he has vegetables there and he didn't make it hefker. Or he did works on those things that were prohibited during Shemitah. Okay, not where he planted it during Shemitah. But he did work on it during Shemitah. He what you call, pruned the tree or whatever. The Chazon Ish held that the Evid, those fruits are not osher. They're not osher. Shomer v'nevad, it's osher to do, but it's not osher, the product's not osher. And the minig in Yerushalayim is that Shomer v'nevad is osher. And therefore, if you hold from minig Yerushalayim and you don't hold from the Heter Mechira, then even though the produce, what's it called, the produce will have Kedusha Shvias because it's considered from a Jewish land, it won't be exempt from Kedusha Shvias. And not only that, it'll be Svichim if it's things that are Svichim. And even things that aren't Svichim, it'll have been worked on and guarded improperly, so it'll be also for all those reasons. So at best, things that aren't Svichim may be mutter to eat, but with Kedusha Shvias from Heter Mechira. And things that could be svichim, not fruit of the tree, other kinds of things are going to be usher to eat if they were produced under the Heter Mechira. Okay, if you follow Minig Yerushalayim, not only is svichim kind of things going to be prohibited to eaten, but even fruit's going to be prohibited to be eaten because it was Shomer V'Nevad. It was guarded and worked on improperly, thinking that it was okay because it was Goyish land. When we hold that it's not Goyish land, it's Jewish land, because the sale is no sale. So therefore there are going to be things that if you hold from the Heter Mechira, people are going to be eating without Kedusha Shvias, that people who don't hold from the Heter Mechira, some of those things you're not allowed to be able to eat at all. They're osir. Not only are they osir, but if they're cooked in pots, those pots become osir. It's mamash like chazer, just like you cook pig in those pots. It's osir like chazer.
Svichim,
Aser, Kalim. So the Kalim are Aser, just as if it would be something that's Aser, any other Iser. Any Iser Drabonin, at least. Like you cooked chicken and milk in your pot, the pot's treif. If you cook Svichim in a pot, it's treif. So 1 second. So the if you don't hold from the Heter Mechira, and we do not hold from the Heter Mechira at all.
So we can never eat from people.
Not really. No. If you know for sure they cook svichim in that thing within 24 hours, right, you can't. But anything after 24 hours where the svichim were cooked is already mutter b'dieved. As long as it's not your pot, you're not cooking in it, somebody else cooked it, it doesn't become awesome. So if you have a problem, you have a shaila about that, ask a shaila. But then it's like anything else. If something awesome was cooked and then the pot was used for something mutter, are you allowed to eat the mutter thing or not? It's a shaila. Depends on a lot of circumstances. Okay, so now, so therefore, what is the halachas of Kedusha Shvias? Something that has Kedusha Shvias, something that either was grown in definitely Jewish land, according to everybody, right, like fruit that was grown in Jewish land, or vegetables that already sprouted before Rosh Hashanah, which are not Svichim, which will be harvested after Rosh Hashanah, are mutter to eat, but they all have Kedusha Shvias, okay? And we hold, even if they were grown in Goyish land, within the borders of Eretz Israel, have Kedusha Shvias, and in Yerushalayim, they hold if it was grown on Goyish land, within the borders of Eretz Israel, doesn't have Kedusha Shvias. Okay. So what is Kedusha Shvias? So we're not going to have time today to go into all the details, but just in general. You have to eat them in the normal way they're normally eaten. You can't destroy it, waste it. Therefore you can't, the leftovers you can't just throw in the garbage. You have to treat it in a way that that does not waste it. We'll see what you do with it, right? That's where the 7 garbage cans come from. And you can only cook it and prepare it in the normal way, not do something abnormal to it. Things that are normally cooked you can cook, but things that are not normally cooked you may be not allowed to cook. And we'll go to the details next week in Mirtz Hashem. What exactly? And also, there's also an Isser of Schora. You can't do business. You can't buy them and sell them in the normal way. Okay? And therefore, you can't just go into a store and buy something that has Kedusha Shvias. There's a lot of problems, which we will discuss next week what the problems are. And we'll see how you go about buying these things. What normally is done, when it comes to vegetables at least, is that you sign up. Chaim Jacobs gave me the name of a vegetable vendor in Kiryat Sefer. The name was mentioned, Ruvain. This guy Ruvain last week was mentioned. I'm going to speak to him. I haven't spoken to him yet. And Chaim dealt with him when he had the store, so we can deal with him directly. And what you have to do is the following. You're allowed to go into a vegetable patch and pick vegetables, okay, and take it home. You can tell your friend to go into the vegetable patch and pick for you. And if he has 20 people telling him to do that, he can pick for 20 people, right? You can't harvest more than you would normally use for the most one shopping spree for that vegetable. Okay, some hold just for three meals from that vegetable. Okay, each time you harvest. But we're makel that you can take as much as people would buy when they shop once a week or whatever. So now you could conceivably go where the grocer goes and get the vegetables for free. And he's not allowed to sell you vegetables that are Kedusha Shvias, not his. But what he can do is the following. If you appoint him, you sign on a paper, and you appoint him to be your shliach, to go and harvest crops for you, which are free. So now he can go, and he can make somebody else a shliach to do it for him. So the people who harvest the vegetables, right, will now be a shluchim of all the individual people, and they're allowed to take now, let's say, a ton, because they have hundreds of people who made them a shliach. So they're harvesting for free for these people, except it's not just the value of the vegetables. They spent money transporting it. They spent labor, harvesting it. I could have gone and got it for myself for free, but somebody else does it for me. I have to pay him for the labor. So he's allowed to charge for his expenses, right, plus a little bit of profit on his, well, he doesn't have to charge you just for the gas that he spent to get there, but he can charge you for his time or whatever. He's not charging for the vegetables. He's charging you basically for the marketing of getting it to you, and that's what you pay for. And that there's a cheshbon, and this is done under the aegis of a beis din that make the cheshbon how much he's allowed to charge based on his expenses and whatever. And you're basically getting the vegetables for free. He is harvesting them for you, the amount that you're allowed to get, and in that way he's also not allowed to sell them by weight or number, just in bunches. Now, you're not allowed to weigh it. You're not allowed to deal with it as if it would be something that's bought and sold by weight or whatever. And he can't sell it from his normal store as if he's selling other things. So it has to be delivered or in the back of the store or something. When we had the store here, we used to sell from the back of the store or whatever. And Chaim didn't weigh it out or whatever. So that's with vegetables. When we get to fruit, it's a different story. But for vegetables, that's what's going to have to be. So we're going to have to find somebody that we can be chosem on iksav minui for the vegetables, at least, that are growing within Eretz Yisrael and with Kedusha Shvius. Then there's a problem. Now, some vegetables are going to come from Chutzlaritz. Chutzlaritz meaning some other country, or Eretz Yisrael, but outside the borders of Eretz Yisrael. From the state of Israel, but outside the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Which means in the very southern Arava, or things that were grown inside, separated from the ground, completely, where there's no Isser of Svichim and there's no Kedusha Shvias. Hydroponic is not a nafkamina. It's inside, separated from the ground, the way we just mentioned how to be separated. But just the fact that it's hydroponics doesn't make a difference. If it's separated, then it's separated. If it's in the ground, and if it's not separated, even if it's in water, it's awesome.
Do we know if the lettuce?
Yeah, that's all grown on things that are separated from the ground. It's all with a hechsher. It's not just hydroponics. Yeah. We'll get to that. The question was, what if you travel somewhere else and you want to buy vegetables and you're not signed up? So pashtus, you can go to somebody or to the grocer, right? Sometimes he'll buy like for other people who don't sign up, because you know he assumes that there may be people coming. That's also so even if you didn't mamish sign, you have to sign up. But if not, if it's a one-time thing or whatever, so he can mizake from what he gets for himself or what he gets for other people that maybe didn't pick it up or whatever, that's...